Yeah, buddy. Final hour of this Tuesday. Welcome in. Thank you for being with us. Jason Ross, Damian Barling, this is The Lowdown. We thank you for listening. We've had a fun couple of hours here. If you missed any part of it, please subscribe to The Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. If you do that, if you wouldn't mind, rate and review us. You can listen to us at any time at your leisure. You can listen first thing in the morning, late at night, whenever you please. You can listen to you if you want to relive the fantastic moments of today's broadcast. You can listen to the show at any time you like. Of course, if you're headed into the office, if you're outside of the car, if you can't listen on 1140 AM, you can listen on the radio.com app or on the TuneIn app, and you can take us with you pretty much everywhere you go. You can have Jason Ross in your pocket. Doesn't get much better than that.
That
I was just
weird.
Informed, not only are they retiring the number 8 jersey of Kobe Bryant, but the individual who wore number 8 in Los Angeles before Kobe Bean Bryant is my best friend, Doug Christie.
Is that right?
Douglas Dale Christie.
So they're retiring his jersey?
They are.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Just putting Bryant on the back of it.
Oh, that's weird.
That's it.
Show respect.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. What did he ever do in that jersey?
Yeah, hyphen it. Bryant Christie.
Yeah.
We're wearing Muhammad Ali shirts today, so we're back into the good graces with each other.
Hmm.
He likes me again.
Good.
You can, everybody likes Doug, as a matter of fact. Sounds like a great sitcom. You can hang out with Doug Christie tomorrow morning, along with Peja Stojakovic, Bobby Jackson, and Vlade Divac at the Wingstop Soundstage. This is your last opportunity to be a part of this fantastic event with those four individuals. They'll be doing the final hour of the drive tomorrow morning. I had a fun segment on prop bets for Bobby Jackson. I just couldn't decide how inappropriate it might be, so I scrapped it.
You left it out?
I left it out. But I thought there were great ones that involved how much fast food would he show up with, like over under on the time that he got there.
Yeah.
Bobby's always a good time.
Yes,
and
he
I
is.
Imagine at 8 in the morning, he's going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
This is your last opportunity to hang out with those four individuals for that final hour of the drive. All you have to do is text the word LIVE, L-I-V-E, LIVE, to 44-1140. That is your final opportunity of the day. That is your final opportunity, period. Your last chance to enter right now. Text the word one more time, LIVE, L-I-V-E, and you'll get a chance to hang at the Wingstop Soundstage with those four Sacramento Kings legends. One thing that we really like to do during the college, during the football season. Sorry, I got a little derailed.
Yeah,
there.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Winners?
Winners.
Yes.
Winners indeed. There are winners and losers of week one. I very obviously am a loser. But let's start, Jay Ross, with some of the winners. This is a great chance to highlight some of the things we saw in week one. This is a great chance to overreact to some of the things we saw in week one. And when we get to the loser category, you see it's a fantastic way to poke fun at ourselves. Give us a winner.
All right, first one, I'm going to label this one, and we had a texter that mentioned this earlier, and we kind of called it game managers.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great weekend for those guys. Going back to Thursday, Alex Smith, one of his best games we've seen, a great win. He was terrific. And then last night, Sam Bradford, good team, good defense. Will the quarterback hold him back? Nope. He was really, really good too. So I labeled them under game managers, but Alex Smith and Sam Bradford, great week one for them.
Hands down, if you were going to hand out players of the week, those guys are going to be at the top of the list.
For sure.
Probably along with Jared Goff. I don't know who I would give the player of the week to right now, given what we saw with those two quarterbacks. I mean, you probably are highlighted by the Chiefs beating the reigning defending undisputed champions in the New England Patriots. But, I mean, you can't deny what Sam Bradford did last night when both of those guys, and expectations plays a part in this conversation as well, right?
Yeah.
Because you think, well, what can they do against these two teams? Could Minnesota potentially win a shootout with St. Louis? Well, it never got that far because Minnesota's defense was great, as was their offense. Do you know who Zeke Sandu is?
Zeke Sandu, I'm not sure.
He is the agent for Odell Beckham Jr.
He
had a fantastic week, and I mark him off as a winner. 233 total yards for the Giants offense on Sunday night against a very young Dallas Cowboys defense.
It didn't even seem like they got that many.
It didn't. It really, really didn't. But Odell Beckham Jr., without stepping foot on the field, was a big winner, as was his agent this week, because they looked absolutely lost out there in week one without him. And we debated leading into the season, who is the most important non-quarterback? You know, I think we had this conversation the day after Odell Beckham Jr. hurt his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy who is the non-quarterback injury that could change the complexion of a team's season? Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say is the Giants, the complexion of their season has changed. But if that is a genuine look at what they're like without Odell Beckham Jr. out there, I'm concerned if I'm Eli. I'm concerned if I'm that Ben McAdoo who was running his mouth, by the way.
Sure was.
He was talking about that young Dallas Cowboys secondary all week leading into that game, and he had to eat it the next day.
Yeah.
I would be concerned, though, if that's what my team looked like without their best skill position player out there.
Got to get him back. It's so obvious for
them. Or you got to figure out a way to supplement. Hey, Brandon Marshall, right?
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard's out there. He came back from his injury. You got Brandon Marshall out there.
Give him time, too.
Figure out a way. You didn't even look in his direction.
Right.
You targeted him three times. I think he caught one pass to keep his streak going, the second to last play of the game. It's like, oh, crap, I got to throw to Brandon Marshall. Got to throw the ball to Brandon Marshall so the streak can stay alive. They got it. If Odell Beckham Jr. is back, and by the way, it's Tuesday, I'd imagine we know something probably by tomorrow afternoon by the time we get off. You better figure something else out if he's not playing in week 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard stepped up pretty well last year. Trust him. Or go to Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just a big mm-mm.
Right, right.
So, Odell Beckham Jr., you're a big winner this week.
All right, my next list, I kind of labeled this the rookie runners, the young runners. And that's Fournette, 100 yards and a win. Dalvin Cook last night, over 100 and a win. I mentioned Tarik Cohen from the Bears. Oh, back to Thursday, Kareem Hunt, just all the young running backs. McCaffrey didn't have the amazing stats, but you could tell he's going to be good. It's a good first week for the young runners.
Give me a rookie of the week then. You got to pick one. By the way, T.J. Watt played pretty well also. Some guys on the defensive side of the ball played pretty well.
I'm going to go back to Thursday, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 230 some odd, I think, yards. Yeah,
At least one, maybe two touchdowns, yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. But yeah, I'm fine with that. How about Giorgio?
Yes.
You see, I knew he was on your list. Yeah. Did I steal it?
No, that's all right.
You've got to be kidding. You get Sebastian Janikowski. You wonder why is Sebastian Janikowski? What is all this talk about renegotiating his deal right now before the week start? We speculated maybe his back injury is a little bit worse than they're leading on, and he goes to IR. Remember IR? That's a guaranteed 8 weeks. Sebastian Janikowski is out. He's been one of the most reliable kickers in the history of the NFL. He's had that incredibly powerful leg. No worries. Sergio's been cut 4 times by the Raiders.
Yeah.
4 different times. In favor for Sebastian Janikowski. You can't argue that they, made the wrong call there. But he had a hell of a debut. You got to feel good if you're Jack Del Rio, knowing that you have him back there. And you may not have at least 250-yard field goals, made all 4 field goals as he's attempt. When you have kickers now, the extra points are an adventure. And you got this kid going out there and knocking down 250-yarders and going 4 for 4 in his field goal attempts. Remember, the score was 26-16. Every single one of those field goals mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big winner, Giorgio, there.
Yeah, especially, he gets thrown into the fire. You don't know what he'll do. Makes all the important kicks, and now you feel good about him going forward. I stuck with the Raiders, too, but their defense. I don't know if we'll – I want to see a lot more. I'm not sold that they figured it all out. But remember, this was a team that didn't win a preseason game. We said we don't care about the preseason. We don't. But when the number ones were playing defense – I didn't like the way they looked. We thought their defense wasn't going to be a strength. I didn't think they'd improved over a year ago. Their first real live bullets, I thought they were pretty good. There were moments, gave up too many third downs, I thought, in that first half conversions for the Titans. But by and large, that's what might keep them from being a great team is their defense. I think week 1, they're definitely a winner, Raiders defense.
Okay, Cowboys defense.
Yep.
Why not? You mentioned the young secondary that they have. We mentioned that Ben McAdoo was poking holes at him. I just did a good job of, ripping to shreds the New York Giants offense. And there's this text here right near at the top of the text line at 44-11-40. Maybe the Cowboys defense was just that good. And you know what? Maybe they were.
Yeah.
Sean Lee, by the way, was very good. And Sean Lee is
when he's healthy.
Oh, man. He is.
He's underappreciated.
He wasn't a pro bowler last year.
Yeah, which everybody always says it. Like, every time you hear Collinsworth, I mean, he is so good, and everybody kind of always says that, but I feel like nobody ever mentions him, like, in generalities.
He had to fill the hole that DeMarcus Ware left when Jerry so stupidly let DeMarcus Ware walk. And that's a big hole, not just playing-wise, because you can look at DeMarcus Ware's stats before he left Dallas and see that they decreased, and given the value versus production, fine, you can make the argument. But in terms of a locker room guy, in terms of being the quarterback of that defense, that was a big hole that the Cowboys had to fill, that Sean Lee had to fill. And you're right, he is underappreciated, and he is great. He is an all-pro at that position. He's so good. And perhaps he was the guy who instilled some confidence into that young secondary for the Dallas Cowboys that, again, played really, really well against the New York Giants. Of all of the winners, maybe with the one exception being my last one, that's the one I'm the least confident about, is that defense. You know, they didn't force turnover. They generally don't force a lot of turnovers. They don't force a lot of sacks, but they force a lot of three and outs. They forced the Giants offense, especially in that first half, to really, really struggle. They didn't have their first meaningful yards until the beginning of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So you give the Raiders a nod, which we didn't think we were going to do on the defensive side of the ball. I'll give the Cowboys a nod, which I didn't think we were going to do on the defensive side of the ball either.
Nice. I had Trevecchio, Giorgio.
Chris.
Jaguars?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, that's about the only reason I could come up with to not include them was why not?
Yeah.
They were
a road team going there and just thumping them. There's something to that.
So they'll tie nicely into my first loser, my biggest loser. My biggest loser, by the way, of the week was me.
Nah.
My Survivor League, out the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy team, I won the game.
Chris.
I lost David Johnson. You could argue I won the battle, but that war, boy, those odds in that war are getting overwhelming here pretty quick. And why did I lose my Survivor League?
I'm not hearing you.
Because I thought the Houston Texans might be worse. But we've had this conversation before, especially when Ken was here, because Ken was a big gambler. Why don't I gamble? Because of crap like this.
Yeah.
Can you yell in that
IFP
really quick?
The Houston Texans lay an egg in front of their city in NRG Stadium. When J.J. Watt comes out and he's the All-American and he's waving the Texas flag and crowd is nuts, the building explodes.
What the fuck are they doing here? Talked on IFB one on the Axis.
And then that's pretty much the end of the excitement for the Houston Texans.
All right, I got you there. Where the hell did
Blake
you put the IFB in?
Shaking Blake all over him.
Yep.
Just embarrassed them. Just made them look like they lost.
How
Allen
was the
Robinson
like on the Axis one? Like,
and Fournette still got 100.
How the stats
that
look?
Defense
should
gave
really
up 100 yards to a rookie running back?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Biggest loser of the week. And Bill O'Brien, you yank. Okay, you know what? It's not the Houston Texans. Go ahead. You do it.
Bill O'Brien.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The whole staff.
Yeah. And I'm almost upset now that today, according to all the accounts, Damian, their number one starter, the guy that was going through all the number one reps, was Deshaun Watson. How did we get there? This
the
fast?
The issue is Chris.
I mean, to me,
Joe doesn't have.
Once you say Tom Savage is our quarterback, you
got
to give
okay,
him a little
I got
bit
this.
Time. He wasn't
Thanks,
good
bud.
On Sunday. That's fine. He should be the quarterback this week, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
If that's what you decided, now you're switching. So now what? I mean, to me, now Deshaun Watson needs to have the longest leash because that's who you want it to be ultimately. Cleveland said, yeah, we're going with Deshaun Kizer. Go ahead, make your mistakes. Have your success. We're willing to deal with whatever happens on Sunday. He actually played pretty well against the Steelers. The Texans weren't willing to deal with whatever Tom Savage did. They probably felt the heat from the crowd. The second they announced Deshaun Watson, everybody went nuts. All right, they didn't come back. They maybe played marginally better. They still got worked. You need to commit to a plan, and they didn't commit to it.
You may be surprised to hear this. I'm a bit emotional sometimes, and I tend to overreact once in a while. To me, this is a very fireable offense.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the things that happened in week one, and there were a lot of them, this is the one that I can't wrap my brain around because Bill O'Brien is supposed to be he's supposed to have this really bright future as a coach, and it hasn't clicked yet in Houston. And last year was the closest it came to clicking, and I would argue it still didn't. To me, though, this is just so egregious. How did this happen? And I can't wrap my brain around this one. I don't think it's on the same level of the Jacoby Brissett, Scott Tolzien thing.
Right.
I don't think it's the same. because of the line that we use that we both laugh at, that Scott Tolzien has been in the system. Jacoby Brissett had been there 7 days or 10 days or whatever it was. But this thing with Bill, the second Deshaun Watson was drafted, he was the best player. He was the best quarterback on the team. And they chose, I would look long and hard when this season is over if Houston doesn't have something that wows that owner that you can't trust them moving forward.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is just such a bad call. Thanks to the text line here at 44-1140. Shameful to leave off Jalen Smith of the winners of week one just for being on the field for as many snaps as he was. So, yeah, take part in winners and losers
absolutely.
As well. If you want to jump in here on the text line with yours, we'll read them out loud. 44-1140, we got one right below it. Was drafting Taco Charlton over T.J. Watt a mistake by the Cowboys? I think it's
too early to say.
Yeah, too early. I mean, T.J. Watt was really good. You can put him on the winner's list if you want to. And a couple people have here on the text line, you could put him on the winner's list, but I'm not ready to write off old Taco yet. More losers of the week, Saints play calling.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. We won't have to spend a ton of time on it here. It looked like they wanted to go with Peterson and Ingram to start, but they sure veered away from that really, really quickly. And if Adrian Peterson can't catch passes out of the backfield, and if you're not going to run him a dozen times at the least, a dozen to 15 times, I don't know what you're doing with him, and I don't know what that offense is going to be able to do, because they're going to have to score points again, because if nothing else, the game last night showed us that defense is still bad.
Mm-hmm. My next loser will be – it's a double here, but it's the Bengals and Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
You're at home. You can lose. You get shut out at home to a conference opponent, a division opponent, who a lot of people aren't very high on, the Baltimore Ravens. And then one of the reasons I'm never high enough on Cincinnati, and it fit right into the narrative, is their quarterback play. And then when Andy Dalton comes out and has a game like that, lays an egg, no points, division team, that was a brutal opener. And then it's a short turnaround week where you're at home again against a desperate Texans team, that I think you need to beat to restore your season. I mean, can you go 0-2 and recover? Sure, but to lose two in a row at home, that is not good. I thought the Bengals had an awful week.
Well, I'd argue, can either one of the when you talk about going 0-2 to start, you just look at the numbers. You talk about going 0-2 to start in those divisions,
right?
Particularly the one that the Bengals are in. Can you recover from that? When it appears, at least after 1 week, I was wrong about the Ravens, and you know, you mentioned the Steelers. They just kind of coasted and beat the Browns, but you know, they're still good.
Mm-hmm.
Le'Veon Bell's not going to play like that. Maybe he'll play a little bit better in week two, but then he's going to play a little bit better in week three. Then he's going to be really good in week four. And if he stays healthy, those three,
you
can't touch him. And by the way, Bryant's there. I keep forgetting that he's there also.
Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, I think when you're in those other divisions, you need to win the division. So the Bengals can't get too far behind, because I think the wild cards are coming from the AFC West. So you're going to have to win your division if you're the Texans,
if you're
the Bengals. And I agree with you. It's harder probably for the Bengals chasing a team like the Steelers.
Lots of text here, 44-1140, wanting to put beast mode on the winner's list.
That was fun. That's a good call.
And that's totally fair. I got another one here that says Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract situation is a big winner as well. The Raiders played in Tennessee this weekend. So a big loser is football attendance in the state of California. Whether it's the Rams of Los Angeles or the 49ers of Santa Clara. Not good. Two empty stadiums. And the Chargers, by the way,
haven't played yet.
Open up this weekend. Yeah. And if you'd like to go, there's plenty of tickets available.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking StubHub tickets. I'm talking Ticketmaster tickets. Search Los Angeles Chargers. You'll have no problem finding anything there at the StubHub Stadium.
And Raiders should be packed this weekend, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course they
will. So it's the one team that.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I was able to eliminate them because they were in Tennessee this weekend. Yeah, so just a bad week for football attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Got any other losers?
Yeah, it's an offshoot of that is the 49ers. Not that I expected a win, but I was a little bit more optimistic about how they might look. And kind of talking about feeding into the narrative, where were they going to score, where are they going to get points? I was impressed by Shanahan's preseason. I thought Hoyer, they would function. I thought Hyde, I just thought they would get some points. And it just wasn't there. And not that I expected a win. I just thought we might have a competitive game. And, 20-17, moving the ball a little bit. Just didn't see a lot of things from the offense.
Some on the text line, particularly our man Brian's being a smartass. Winner for the week, Tony Romo. He didn't get sacked. I actually had Antonio Romero Romomo on my list here as winners. He might have been the biggest winner of the entire week.
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic.
He was good.
He was really, really good in that week one debut with Nance and the Raiders Titans. And then, hello, friends. You know, Sean McDonough said that last night.
Did he?
He didn't say hello, friends, but he said friends when doing a plug for the Hurricane Harvey relief. And it completely threw me off because he said it in such a monotone that, friends, we want you to be able to.
Is he talking to me?
Who is that? Yeah. Was that Sean McDonough doing that? You know, I got one more on the loser list.
Okay.
Tom Savage went 7 for 13, 62 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 6 sacks for a loss of 33 yards. That is a net total of 29 yards on 19 dropbacks. Scott Tolzien went 9 for 18 for 128 yards while throwing 2 pick sixes in a game that they lost 46-9. Combined, Savage and Tolzien led 19 drives that resulted in 3 points for their teams and 29 points for the opposition. Completely unrelated note, you just mentioned him. Andy Dalton went 16 for 31, 170 yards, 4 interceptions in a 20-0 shutout loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Loser of the week, everyone who said Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to play in the NFL.
Good point.
Because if you need numbers worse than that, I don't know where you're going to find them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
That's a great point.
44-11-40 here. Winner, people who drafted Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a big winner there. Losers, people who drafted David Johnson.
You did both.
How can I? Yeah.
You did both, which is actually pretty amazing if you honestly think about it that you have both of those guys.
Well, only because, there was so much uncertainty around Zeke.
Right.
I was going to go the Jason Ross, no scruples for my roster. Again, if you weren't with us, Jason Ross drafted 4 suspended players, including Tom Brady and Le'Veon Bell. Or was it 3?
3.
Josh Gordon was the other one. Le'Veon Bell, Tom Brady in your fantasy football draft last year that you won.
Only a 2 this year. I'm a little upset about that.
Who were the 2 that you have?
Doug Martin and...
But he's only missing 1.
No, he's 3, I think.
Is he 3?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 1.
And Willie Snead.
Willie Snead of the Saints. Were you worried about that one after watching them play last night?
I want him back. Yeah, he'll help. He'll help that offense.
He's a game breaker hey, text line, come on. Some of them are taking shots at my man Sergio. I'm calling Sergio a winner. Sergio, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm going to call Sergio a winner. When the firestorm hit, or whatever storm hit, he tweeted a thumbs up and a smiley face or something, and it was him Googling, like, how to deal with fame. And he took a screenshot of it, and I thought, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect response. I don't really love the video that he did later, the overly kind of dramatic thing, but I thought his initial response was perfect. I was like, hey, there you go, kid. Poke a little fun out of it. No problem.
And in all honesty, if he was... I don't know if it's a scale of 1 to 10, and he was an 8. Not like him, the best sideline reporter you've ever heard, but just almost forgettable. Do we even know who his name is? I mean, it's been like, hey, who was that guy last night? But because of the way everything happened.
You're going to know now.
We know who he is.
You're going to know now. We'll come back. We'll take a look ahead to week 2 in the NFL season. That kicks off Thursday. Strangely enough, only one of those teams playing on Thursday has an announced quarterback. We'll talk more as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Time to see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jerry, thanks for calling, buddy. What do you got?
Yeah. Hey, you guys. As somebody who's been watching sports for quite a while, you know, my interest has been waning. I tend to watch more end-of-the-season regular action and then playoffs. But trying to watch that Monday night game last night, my acceleration curve just went up, up, up. I don't mind saying it. I had a hard time listening to that woman. I mean, I know that woman's got a name, and I don't want to put anybody down, but I didn't think she was all that good, and I really lost interest in it and changed the channel. I'm wondering if anybody else out there kind of feels the same way.
Just curious, were you not interested in her because she was a woman, or you just didn't think she was good at her job?
I just didn't. kind of both, to be honest.
Okay, so you're only kind of misogynistic, but not totally.
Yeah, I guess that's it, man.
Okay.
I'm kind of old school that way, and, you know, I'm for all equal everything, but, you know, it seems like everybody is losing their kind of old private piece of the world where they had their own little sanctuary, and, you know, I just think that...
And these damn women, these black guys are taking it away, damn it. I've had enough. I've had enough of you people taking away my sanctuary.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, Jerry.
You know what's interesting, though? I would say I feel like we could.
These damn protests and these women calling games. I don't know what to do with the NFL anymore. By the way, sorry, Jason. Jerry, we don't have numbers on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football because Hurricane Irma has kind of stalled a lot of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
We like to do ratings. We think it's always an interesting thing to look at. We just don't have it yet. As soon as we do, we'll pass them along.
I think the last... 3 years, I feel like there's been a constant complaint about the second Monday night game crew.
It's terrible.
Whether it was Ben Berman and Dilfer, Mike and Mike, they've tried different things.
It's because ESPN, Mike and Mike, dear goodness. It's because they have one football crew to do one game per week.
Yeah.
And you try to shoehorn this second game in there because it's, and I get it. And there are a lot of people on the East Coast who for one day really love being up until 1 in the morning watching, you know, 1:30 in the morning or whatever what time it was, watching football. But, it's they never have, like, a clear-cut. Berman's not a play-by-play guy. Are you freaking kidding me?
Right. Like, neither was Mike Greenberg.
You actually believe, like, if you believe Berman was better than Beth Mowins, it's because she's a woman and there's no
that's
other
it.
Reason.
Yeah.
Because Berman doesn't know. That's not Berman's job.
Right. At their craft, at the skill, she is better than Mike Greenberg. She was better than Berman. But their names, you might know them. Well, that's fine. But I think it was the totality of last night.
Why do men feel like sports are theirs?
I don't know. I don't know that. But they do. A lot of people are guilty of that.
I guess I don't. I love this text. I'm only kind of sexist and racist. Like that. Well, he did. He did. By the way, Jerry didn't say that. I did.
He laughed at it.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate you playing along. And I appreciate you knowing where I was going with that because we have heard that sanctuary line before when it comes to anthem protests and all that other stuff. So hey, Mike, what's happening, man? Big Mike.
Big Mike.
What's going
hey,
on, man?
Hey, I'm sorry. I actually have to agree with the last caller, and it has nothing to do with her being a woman. I think Beth Mullins is a great basketball announcer, but I could not stand her doing football last night. And Ryan, as her partner, the dude seriously needs to just go away. If he's not coaching, go away, because he embarrassed himself in a lot of senses last night, stumbling over his words. I mean, the guy literally, it has color commentary. He knew red, black, and white, and that's about it.
Yeah,
that's really good.
And you know what, Mike? Hey, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much. And I'll tag on to some of that here, Mike. If you don't like her just because you didn't like what she brought, I'm fine with that.
Right. There's everybody's opinion.
A number, like, I only have a problem with people. Oh, I don't want a woman calling my football game. That's where, like, this isn't your football game.
Right.
Because it's mine, too. That if it's yours, that would make it mine. And I don't have a problem with the woman calling.
Mm-hmm.
If you just didn't like what Beth offered, then that's fine. I get ESPN trying out Rex Ryan because Rex has a personality, or at least in certain environments, he has a personality. Look, this broadcasting thing is hard, and I know that we sit in the trick for Jason and myself, and the trick for Doug when he transitions from studio guy to radio guy to color guy, because those are three very different
Absolutely.
Jobs. The job for Grant and Jerry and all of these people is to make it look easy. I know we're just sitting in a room talking to you. This is not easy. This gets extremely difficult. What you do on the radio for Sac State and what you do every 10 years when Gary Gerald gets sick and you get to do a Kings game, that is so significantly harder. It's so much more than talking, right? And I know some people will never understand that, but I don't fault ESPN for trying, and I don't fault Rex Ryan for failing. Watch Rex Ryan this weekend on ESPN on whatever studio show he's on. I'm sure it's Sunday morning countdown or NFL countdown or whatever that show is called, I'm sure he's going to excel in that because that's going to be much more of a controlled atmosphere where he can start preparing for what he's doing this weekend today.
Right.
And you can prepare. You can prepare for the Chargers and you can prepare for the Broncos, but you can't prepare for what players are going to want. You can't prepare for a coach doing an onside kick to start the game. You can't prepare for things like that. And when you have to adjust on the fly, when you have to, call interceptions or injuries or whatever it is, it's significantly different and significantly harder.
If ESPN had another doubleheader coming up, let's say week four, just for hypothetical, do they have the same crew back?
Minus Sergio, probably. I think that's one
Why
thing.
Why was Sergio there, by the way?
That is my biggest problem, and I said that to you earlier. Don't fault Sergio for failing. Don't fault Sergio for being overwhelmed by the moment. Don't fault him for not doing well with this sideline report. Fault ESPN for putting him in that position. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have been in that position. You shouldn't have had a first-time sideline reporter who's an ESPN Deportes guy, who English is his second language, teamed up with a first-time color commentator who's never done this before, teamed with Beth Mowins, who's breaking a barrier of calling a nationally televised Monday Night Football game, which is already going to gain a certain level of attention and a certain level of resistance.
Yeah.
Raider fans don't care. They've heard her for 4 years. Raider fans do not care that she was on the game last night. Everybody else does. We're used to Beth Mowins. You set that team up to fail. There is no reason Josina Anderson couldn't
right.
have been out
Sal
there.
Sal Palantonio, Wendy Nix, the list that they have, Adam Schefter, whoever,
why
one of their bigger names.
Why? And again, I don't fault them for trying Rex Ryan out, but you have very little resume to know what he does on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You have Hard Knocks. You had some of the stuff he's done, in the past. Why not put Lewis Reddick next to Beth Mowins?
Mm-hmm.
Why not put – you want a player? Find one better than Ryan Clark,
right,
who breaks down the game. Put Ryan Clark in there next to Beth Mowins. I feel like you set that entire broadcast up to completely fail, and it all fell onto Beth Mowins' shoulders because she was the first woman to be doing it.
Yep.
Like you heard Jerry there just a second ago. He didn't say anything about Rex Ryan. He only noted that he didn't like having a woman call the game. Well, Rex was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you have the means to go back and watch the fourth quarter, if you didn't stick around for it, I know a number of people on the text line did stick around for it. Both of them got significantly better in the fourth quarter, particularly Rex Ryan. Why? I'm not sure, but I know the pace of the game was a lot faster. There was
the
a sense of urgency from the Los Angeles Chargers, and he got better in that element. He got better in those final play calls, and I think Beth did too. A very long way of answering your question. No, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
If they had another broadcast scheduled in 4 weeks, in which they're not working week two to get better, and they're not working week three to get better, they're just going back out there again game four. No, I don't think they do.
I think you're right.
A couple more chances to get in here on the phone lines, and we'll look ahead to week two in the NFL season as we wrap this show up next on Sports 1140. Wrapping things up here on this Tuesday edition of the Lowdown. Time to see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com. We'll look ahead to some marquee games in week two of the NFL season here in just a heartbeat. Al, wanted to get you in here. Appreciate you holding. What do you got for us, my friend?
Hey, so I thought Ben did a great job. I think no matter if you were Frank Sinatra or Howie Long, that game was just so terrible that, you just – got a bad taste in your mouth no matter what. But I wanted to ask what you guys thought of possibly women being in either the MLB or the NFL sometime in the near future, or what do you guys think?
You mean as announcers?
No, I mean as a player.
Oh, no.
Or something.
No, Al, we appreciate it. No, I don't see that. Certainly not. No, I don't see that in any sport. The physical makeups of men and women are too different. They don't let men under a certain age play in the NFL. And you have to be three years out of high school. Baseball, Jason, that's more your wheelhouse. I
would feel like of the major sports, that's maybe the one.
Because of the maybe, less physical contact?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, because I think if you can hit, you can hit, or you can pitch or defend. I think that would be the area, but, yeah, I don't know. I would never say that, never, but.
I didn't think that was the route Al was going.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't think that was the route.
I thought he meant announcers. I'm like, well, we kind of already live in it.
Yeah, I thought that's what. Yeah, I thought that's what he meant. No, I can't envision it.
Football. I could not.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Right.
I laugh at kind of referring to Jerry. Jerry, I'm not trying to pick on you. Just the thought that I don't want women in my football. Well, mm-hmm. Football doesn't belong to men. It doesn't belong to you, Jerry. And if it did, then that means it belongs to me, and mm-hmm. I don't mind it. So now, what do we do?
Right.
Like, people were resistant to Doris Burke being a basketball analyst. Okay, find me now, right now, today, a better basketball analyst. Right. She's as good as it gets.
Absolutely. And she's good at everything. When she's sidelined, she's good there. When she's analyst, she's good there. Studio work, she's been good there. If you're good, you're good.
Maybe we're biased. Maybe we're too close to the situation.
Yeah.
Some good games coming up here in week 2 of the NFL season. We'll touch on just a couple of them. Obviously, we'll explore them greatly here at the end of the week. Any news comes in, we'll definitely share them with you. How about this one, Jay Ross? Eagles and the Chiefs coming up this weekend in Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's a it's kind of like a back-it-up game. We like what Kansas City did to New England. Mm-hmm. So now you're coming home. Can you back up that performance? Philadelphia, strong performance. Nice win against Washington. One of these teams obviously is going to jump out to get that second win. I think I would believe a little bit more in the Chiefs, though. I told you Philly was one of my teams I had in on the 4-in, 4-out. I like both teams, but I was just so impressed with what Kansas City did in week 1.
I feel like of all of the teams that were impressive mm-hmm. this week, we've barely talked about Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned Carson Wentz. We've mentioned that they won. We've brought up Kirk Cousins a couple of times. We haven't really given the proper love to the Philadelphia Eagles and what they were able to do in week 1.
To win on the road, to win in the division. They also
Which
watched,
they normally don't do, and you pointed that out earlier in Washington.
Yeah, so they checked a couple of boxes there. You already knew that the Giants, they lost Sunday night too. So you got the one game kind of cushion on the team you beat head-to-head in Washington. You see the Giants lose, and then this week, if they can win at Arrowhead, I mean, to start the season 2-0 is great, but to win at Washington and Kansas City, that'd be a really impressive start for Philadelphia.
What about the Vikings, who were both really big on the way they played last week? Last night, and we talked about how Pittsburgh just kind of coasted through their win against the Cleveland Browns. Those two teams play each other in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Yeah, Vikings make it difficult on every high-profile offense, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees last night. I'm a big fan of what Steelers' offense can be. It's just I think they're going to be tested. They really will. That's going to be a good game, tough game for Pittsburgh. That's not an easy Sunday. You show up and be like, oh, we got the Vikings? Man, they just make you uncomfortable.
Neither of these teams are going 16-0 because they play each other, the Cowboys and the Broncos, in Denver. That's the 425. I'm sorry. That's the 125 slot for Sunday afternoon.
Another good matchup. I liked what Dallas did. I know it wasn't like the cleanest, absolutely picture perfect game, but I like those games when you win comfortably and you can play better. I think that's what the Raiders did too. Cowboys they were solid all the way through, but I know they can even be better.
Their defense could gain a lot of confidence at the beginning of this season, because the Broncos offense wasn't stellar last night. They were fine. They were good enough, obviously. They weren't stellar. If Dallas is able to have half the game that they had against New York, who was, we believe, a bad offense,
mm-hmm.
that young secondary that the Dallas Cowboys have, they could actually start to build momentum as the season moves along playing these teams. Or it could create a false sense of security. Either way, that Dallas defense. But they could have another good week here moving forward. We'll get to the Raiders and the 49ers here just a few minutes. The Rams, they got Washington in Los Angeles coming up this weekend. I said we got you inconclusive. The Rams are inconclusive right now after one game. But I'm a lot more interested now after seeing the way that they beat up the Colts.
Yeah, and I would assume that Donald will now get some run.
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, whether that's 10 plays, 20 plays, 30 plays, who knows. But adding him to what the defense scored, 16 points, 2 touchdowns and a safety last week, I know it's the Colts, but that was nice.
He gets a little run before he pulls up with a hamstring in the third quarter or something like right. that. The primetime games for the week, we mentioned the awful one that is coming here Thursday that you can listen to.
Hey, that's a promotion.
How about that? You can listen to the Texans and the Bengals here.
Have fun.
On Sports 1140, your home of the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Packers at Atlanta. They're opening up that new stadium down there.
I like this game. I'd like to see Atlanta play better than they did last week. I'm sure Atlanta would like to as well, but this is a fun one. This could be an NFC Championship preview. Could be.
Lions and Giants on Monday night. I don't think either of those two primetime games, by the way. I think two out of those three primetime games aren't particularly appealing. I don't know that the Lions and Giants are really appealing. Sunday Night Football is.
Yeah, the Giants and Lions will only be appealing if Matthew Stafford's down 10 or less going into the fourth quarter. Then we've got a good finish.
Odell Beckham has to be back.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about what ratings were. I'm so curious as to what the Cowboys did. Again, none of them are out yet because of, obviously, the weather situations going across this country. Maybe we'll be able to have them tomorrow. Let's go to the 49ers. The 49ers at the Seahawks. 2-0-1 teams. Somebody's got to break the losing streak here.
They don't play them well, and they don't play them well there at all. Like, the margin of defeat has been brutal. I want to say it's 17 or more in the last six. I can't imagine it being a good week for the Niners.
I can't imagine that being a fun. My offensive line is worse than yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're looking at each other saying.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's your offensive line is worse than mine. I'm not sure what they're saying to
either
each
way,
other.
Either way, it's bad.
Either way, they got bad offensive lines there. Raiders are 14.5-point favorites against the New York Jets. In Oakland.
It's one of the largest spreads they've ever had in a long, long time for the Raiders.
Did you watch Josh McCown this weekend?
I did.
I understand why that spread is set the way that they did.
Yeah.
You talk about building some confidence for a defense. Let Khalil Mack tee off a couple of times on that bad offensive line, that bad quarterback, that bad roster that Todd Boyles has been forced down there to work with.
Well, we said, too, the Raiders' schedule is more difficult this year, especially at the back end of it. So the last week was important. So this week has to be a win. Even if it's 1 point and people would be like, what's wrong with the Raiders? Doesn't matter. You got to get through this game injury-free. And I mean, it would be shocking if they didn't beat the Jets, but they just got to get through it. I would anticipate it being easy, but it's the NFL. It's never really easy.
Sometimes I feel like Todd Boyles is in over his head when I hear him talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not. He
knows what he's doing, but
he does.
Yeah.
It just
the results aren't there.
Maybe it's dealing with the media. Maybe he's just been saddled with crap.
Yeah,
he has. That's what he's stuck with. You know, I joked about the Texans and the Bengals being a rocky game. That's not the worst one of the weekend, at least not in my opinion. The Cardinals play the Colts on Sunday. You got, I assume it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. We don't know that for sure. Against Carson Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
No, DJ's out. You got Chris Johnson, who I just checked. He's 47 years old.
But he's still fast.
He aged since signing today.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kerwin Williams, who apparently – I don't know who's getting the most carries there. I do believe the Colts are the worst team in football, so the Cardinals will win. But that is a game that I will not watch.
9-6. Something like that?
9-3?
Yeah. 5-3. Yeah, I'm giving the Colts too much. 5-3.
Can we get a 5-3?
5-3 final would be
begging
great.
Begging for a 5-3. we had fun today. Thank you so much to everyone who called. Thank you. Text line was hot from the second we got here. We really appreciate everyone who participated today. If you miss any part of the show you'd like to catch up on it, subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. We will be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock.